So today we will be preparing our hearts for Easter. Am I echoing a lot? Yeah. Do I need to move? Is that better? Yes. Okay. I want to go in the middle, but I keep getting... Anyway. Yeah. So as part of our... This will also be the last Sunday of our Frontline series. So as part of that, we will be preparing our hearts for Easter and seeing how we can do that in each of our front lines. And today, as Colin read, we will be looking at the story of Peter denying Jesus. And I will be inviting you to join me in that story. We'll just go along and then stop in places and pause, reflect, maybe discuss some questions, and then go along again. And hopefully you'll find that it's a deeper way of going into God's Word, especially as we prepare for Good Friday and then Easter Sunday. So please join me in prayer. Dear Lord, we know we are small in numbers today, but we give you thanks and praise that we can gather together, that you have protected us and that you have given us this church building, and that we can come to you today as a church family and listen to you, sing your praises, pray for one another. Lord, what a privilege it is. So we ask now that your Spirit be with us and in us as we listen to you. May your words be my words, Lord, and may we worship you in the way we listen and learn and see you through your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Peter denying Jesus. We know throughout the Gospels that Peter is this very passionate guy, is he not? He's all or nothing. And he's always up for challenge. He's always willing to take risks for Jesus because he sincerely believed that Jesus was the Messiah. Peter was the first disciple to step out of the boat during the storm, if you remember, and he walked on water towards Jesus. Yes, eventually he sank because he lost faith, but he did. He was the only one who got out of the boat and walked on water. He was also, when Jesus was getting arrested by the guards, he was the disciple who whipped his sword out and sliced the ear off the guard. He was so passionate and so gung-ho for Jesus. And just before this happens, during the Last Supper, Peter swore. He swore to Jesus that he would never deny Jesus, ever, right? And Peter declares, even if everyone else deserts you, I will never desert you. And Jesus replies, I tell you the truth, Peter. This very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter says, no, even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. And all the other disciples vow the same thing. So what's happened here? Peter's gone from saying, I'll never deny you, and then the first chance he gets, he denies Jesus. Well, first of all, I think that fear and pressure have taken hold of Peter. Because remember, it was Peter, together with the two brothers, James and John, who witnessed the transfiguration of Jesus, when Jesus was transformed and his face shone like the sun and his clothes became as white as light. And Peter saw this and he knew in that instant that Jesus was God, that Jesus was the Messiah. But here, when in this moment, when he's being accused of being a follower of Jesus, and Jesus is in the house of Caiaphas, being tried and booed at. He's had someone spit in his face. He's been slapped. Peter panics. He's full of fear and he's under pressure. And he forgets who Jesus is. More importantly, he forgets who he is in Jesus. Because if Jesus is the Messiah, what does that make Peter if he follows Jesus? How about us? Where in our front lines might we be feeling tempted to deny Jesus? What area in your life might you be feeling under pressure right now? Or fearful? You might be embarrassed to admit that you follow Jesus in your workplace or to your neighbors or even to some friends and family members. Does it cause you to speak or act differently from who God made you to be when you start to feel afraid of what other people think of you for following Jesus? I'd like you to just, if it's okay with you, just pause and reflect on that. And if you'd like to discuss that with each other. James, I see you alone there, so I trust you'll move to someone. And I'll give you a few minutes just to think on that and talk about it with each other. Is that okay? Yeah? Hey, you. I just want to listen in. Hello, Amin. Hello, how are you? Welcome back, Mapupe. I miss you. How is your mom?
Oh, thank you.
Oh, yeah? Your mother is better?
Yes. Thank you.
Oh, I'll let you talk, sorry.
Quick, that was awesome. Being interrupted. You know, I think for me, like my dad, long-term illness is sort of the moment. It's difficult to know exactly what to say.
Are you discussing in Farsi? Yeah. Okay, no, sorry. No.
And he was putting
you all going together.
How are you? Good. That's good.
Yeah.
So, yes,
that was a growing sense in bar.
Yeah, a growing sense, and I'm a little bit more open to that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you for... Can I invite you to continue that at morning tea? It's really great to hear. I know there's so much to talk about, and there really are so many areas of our lives where this could happen, where we would feel afraid to talk about Jesus. I come from a Catholic family, as many of you know. I was raised and born and raised a Catholic. And when I tell my family that I'm a pastor, they just ignore me. And it's very hard for me to actually talk about my work with my family because they don't recognize that women can be leaders at church or work in this capacity at church. So I struggle with that in my own family. So may I just encourage you to be praying about your situations and for God to give you the courage. And yeah, I'm praying for that too. So moving along in our story, Peter's already denied Jesus once, and then he moves on to deny Jesus a second time. We see that Peter's sitting outside in the courtyard, and this is the courtyard of Caiaphas's house. So inside, Jesus is being tried, he's being spat at, he's being slapped, and Peter's outside sitting with a bunch of people around a fire, and this servant girl recognizes him, and she says, "You were one of those with Jesus the Galilean," and Peter denies it in front of everyone. He says, "I don't know what you're talking about." And again, later out by the gate, another servant girl notices him and says, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again, Peter denies it, this time with an oath. "I don't even know the man," he says. So Peter denies Jesus again, second time. He must have been feeling not just frightened and under pressure, but also shocked and confused. See, this is not what Peter expected to happen to the Messiah. This is not what the disciples expected. Peter expected Jesus to take a physical throne and to overthrow Israel's oppressors, the Roman Empire. They expected Jesus to be a warrior, you know, a commander of the army, and to take the throne physically. But instead, Jesus is being tried in court, and he could be executed by the very people he came to free. Everything that Peter believed is being shaken to the core. And so in this moment of weakness and confusion, Peter denies Jesus again. And again, what about us? Shocked and confused. When things don't turn out the way we expect, when have unexpected things happened in our life that have left us feeling shocked and confused? When have unexpected things happened in our lives that have caused us to doubt or question Jesus as our Lord and Savior? Right now, we know about the war that's been happening in Ukraine. We see the images and they're heartbreaking. The floods, COVID, we've really had it tough. And every time we come up for air, something else happens. The people of Ukraine had it very tough with COVID, and now they're being evacuated and their homes are being bombed. And it's understandable as humans for us to ask, where is God? Is there a God? If there is a God, is he good? If Jesus was Lord and Savior, What is going on today? Why is this happening? This year in our church family, There have been a few of us who have suffered the loss of loved ones unexpectedly. And these things are tragedies that, again, cause us to ask God, why? What is the plan? It causes us to become shocked and confused when things happen in our life that we don't expect. Things that happen to our loved ones or our church family. Even when Chris and Rob left, we might have been feeling shocked and confused. And we might still be asking, God, what's the plan? But this is especially when we need to turn to God and fix our eyes on Jesus. This is when we need to give Jesus all our expectations, all our disappointments, our failures, our mistakes. And I especially at this time when I am experiencing doubt, and this happens every day. I don't know about you, but it happens every day for me. I come to Jesus and first of all, I surrender all my expectations. I expected certain things walking in here this morning and they didn't happen. You might have been expecting live worship. That didn't happen. So we surrender our expectations to God. And we ask Jesus to help us remember his promises, his words in the gospel. And to help us trust God, trust Jesus, even when we don't understand what is happening. Because we're only human. And then going on at the very last part of the story, a little later, some of the other bystanders come over to Peter and say again to him, "You must be one of them. We can tell by your Galilean accent." And Peter again swears, "A curse on me if I'm lying. I don't know the man." And then immediately the rooster crows. And suddenly Jesus' words flash through Peter's mind. He remembers what Jesus said, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny three times that you even know me." And so what does Peter do when he realizes this? He goes away and he weeps bitterly. Peter's been gripped by fear and panic, shock and confusion. And in a moment of weakness, he denies Jesus. Not once, not twice, three times. Before sunrise, just as Jesus predicted. And then Peter weeps when he realizes this, and his tears reflect his deep love for Jesus. They reflect his guilt, his regret, even in this moment of weakness and doubt. This is a moment of truth for Peter when he comes face to face with who he really is. And yet, Peter doesn't just acknowledge this moment of weakness. He also allows it to transform him from the inside out. How do we know this? Well, when we read, say, in Acts 4, when we read the rest of the New Testament, in Acts 4 we read that Peter's courage and boldness cause people to recognize him as someone who has been with Jesus. And of course, later on in the New Testament, we read two letters written by Peter to persecuted Christians all around Asia Minor. And in 1 Peter 1, verse 3, Peter writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade." These are beautiful words, but it's easy to forget when we read these words that they were written by Peter, the same Peter who denied Jesus three times. So what I want to ask you, and please just feel free to reflect on it quietly, because it can be quite personal, is where in our front lines do we need God's transformation? Are there areas in your life where you might be feeling guilt or regret right now? Is there an area of weakness in your life that needs God's transformative help? I'd like you to think about this, not just today, but during the week, in the days ahead, as we prepare our hearts for Easter, because that is what Easter is. It's about transformation, Jesus rising from the dead. It's about new life. And even if we fail, even in our weaknesses, this is the hope that we cling on to. Even in our broken relationships, our brokenness, this is the hope that we cling on to, the hope of the resurrection. So please, will you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are forgiving, and we thank you for what you have done for us on the cross and through your resurrection. We humbly give you all our expectations today and our weaknesses, where we are fearful and under pressure, shocked and confused, where we doubt you, where we deny you. We ask your forgiveness for these moments of weakness. We ask for your help to trust you, even when we don't understand what's going on. We ask for your transforming work in our hearts, in our lives, that these areas of weaknesses would one day be the very areas that reveal you to others around us. Lord, give us courage and give us boldness, especially during these times. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.